How are you? Let me move this. Why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And when you are ready, when you have found it, I'm going to ask you to stand so that we can read from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1. And by the way, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ben Jimenez, married to Elena Jimenez, formerly Elena Cole. And we live in Aberdeen, and we are serving there at a church where I serve as one of the elders. All right, so let's read from the Word of God. Let's read from Psalms. Let's read Psalm chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." This is the Word of God. You may be seated. God, we thank you for this morning that we can be gathered together in your name as a body, as your body, as a family. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to share from your word today. And Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you give me the words that that this church body needs to hear, and that we would all be encouraged by your word, that we would be challenged, that we would be convicted, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, and that your Spirit would be the one teaching us this morning. Please bless this time together in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are about to go into 2020. 2020, in a couple of days, we are going to celebrate the new year. And one thing that comes to mind is that it is interesting that when we are going into the new year, what do we wish each other? What do we say? We say, "Happy New Year," right? And then when we are wishing someone, when someone has a birthday, what do we wish them? We wish them a happy birthday, right? So it seems like in our culture, I don't want to speak for the rest of the world, but I feel like I've been in this culture enough to learn that in this culture, one of our main pursuits is happiness. Really, if you think about it, like when we are thinking about 2020, what do we want of this new year? We want to be happy, right? We want to have a happy 2020. We want to realize our dreams and our goals. We want to have a prosperous new year. We want to have a fulfilling 2020. That's what we desire. And you know, maybe that's just something that God ingrained in us. He made us in such a way that we wanted to be happy, that we wanted to experience true happiness. And so when we come to Psalm chapter 1, when we come to this psalm, we see that the writer of this psalm is telling us, yes, there is such a thing as true happiness. And it is something to be desired. But what the psalmist is telling us as well is that there is only one way to achieve this true happiness. There are seemingly two ways. There is the way of the wicked and the way of the Lord. But he is not even comparing these two ways into saying like, well, you know, this way of the wicked has some validity, but I'm trying to convince you to come to the way of the Lord. No, he's saying like, get away from the way of the wicked. There is nothing good in this way. If you really want to be happy in 2020 and for the rest of your life, if you really want to experience true happiness, the psalmist is saying, you need to be following the way of the Lord. And so that's what we are going to see this morning. There are two possible ways that we can follow, the way of the wicked and the way of the Lord. One of them leads to death, and one of them leads to true happiness and to life in Christ. So we see that, as I mentioned, the writer of the psalm, he doesn't even take a moment to really look into the validity of the way of the wicked. He straight up just says, abstain from it. Get away from it. And so this is what he says in chapter 1. He says, how blessed is the one or the man, how blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So he's saying, how truly happy and blessed is this person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who is not in the way of the wicked. Now let's think about these things for a moment. To walk in the counsel of the wicked. Notice the progression here. Notice how first is to walk, and then is to stand, and lastly it is to sit. So imagine a person who is walking and kind of seeing like something attractive, like, oh, you know, this is kind of nice. And then they get a little bit more entangled into it, so they actually sit and start looking into it with more detail. And eventually they're just like, you know what, I think I like this. I'm just going to go ahead and have a seat. So this is what's going on here. It's giving us this progression of someone walking, someone standing, and someone eventually sitting. And I think it is good for us to notice that if we are not careful, it is very easy to go from only walking in the counsel of the wicked into eventually finding ourselves sitting in the seat of scoffers, in the seat of sinners. But let's think about this for a moment. What is the counsel of the wicked? I mean, it's really hard because I feel like most of my preparation of this message, I was just trying to think all of the counsel of the wicked, but it's just, it's so much. It's so hard to point it out. And it is especially hard because certain counsel of the wicked might look more attractive to me than it might look to you, right? I'm a guy, I'm a young adult guy, I have two sons, I'm married, I live in Aberdeen, I'm from Mexico. I'm different from your situation. Maybe some of you are older women, older men, single, married, divorced, conservative, liberal. You know, there are so many different things that are different in us. So the counsel of the wicked looks different for each one of us. I mean, it's all evil and it's all a lie, but there might be some things that are more attractive to you than are attractive to me, and there might be some things that are more attractive to me than are attractive to you. And so I think that we really need to take this seriously and try to analyze what is the counsel of the wicked that we are listening to. And so I'm just going to give you a few examples. This is not exhaustive by any means, but I'm just going to give you a few examples that I see that we are hearing the counsel of the wicked. A big one, social media. It doesn't matter what your favorite network is. If you look into Twitter, you are listening to the counsel of the wicked. If you are in Facebook, you are listening to the counsel of the wicked. Not that everything that is posted there is bad, but it's really hard to filter everything that is going on there. If you're on Instagram, You are looking at the Council of the Wicked. If you are on TikTok, you are looking at the Council of the Wicked. Again, I want to be careful. I'm not saying that everything in those things is sinful. But that's the way that the enemy works. He puts things that look nice, that look attractive, that might be interesting, that might actually have a little bit of truth in them, but they are mixed with lies. And that is the counsel of the wicked. And again, I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know that today one of the big lies that we are, that the enemy is trying to feed us is that you are right no matter what. Just do it your own way. That person is wrong, you are right. That person is also wrong, you are right. Or maybe they're not wrong. Maybe they have their own right. You know, we can have two different rights. It doesn't matter. Okay, I know that another lie or several lies that the enemy is feeding us is that ultimate hope will come through our government, through who is in power. And so over one side, we are being fed the lies of maybe some more conservative news outlets. And then on the other side, we're also being fed the lies of maybe some more liberal news outlets. But the problem is that none of those people fear the Lord. They are just preaching their own agenda. Most of the people that you follow on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, or on TikTok, they do not fear the Lord. They are just preaching their own agenda. And so we need to be careful. This psalm is telling us, if you want to be truly happy in 2020 and for the rest of your life, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Abstain from it. Now it says, if you want to be happy in 2020 and for the rest of your life, do not stand in the way of sinners. In other words, do not get in the way that they walk. Do not put on their shoes. And if we're honest, the more we are exposed to the counsel of the wicked, the more attractive and the easier it gets to stand in the way that they walk. Because all of the things, all of the lies that they are preaching, they start becoming normalized for us. We start believing them. We start thinking that way. And next thing we know, we are sitting in the seat of scoffers. And we are actually not only listening to the things that they say, but we ourselves are even preaching those lies. We ourselves are scoffing with them. This is real. I've caught myself listening to something that maybe some preacher says that is good, that is true, that is right. But I've been feeding my mind so much with the lies of the world that I actually find myself scoffing some of those things. So this is powerful, and we really, really need to be careful to abstain from listening to the counsel of the wicked, from standing in the way of sinners, from sitting in the seat of scoffers. And so what is the opposite? If we want to be happy, truly happy in 2020 and for the rest of our lives, instead of listening to this, to their counsel, we need to delight. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law or in the instruction of the Lord. Notice the comparison. It is the counsel of the wicked versus the counsel of the Lord. The counsel of the wicked versus the instruction of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. I mean, this is clear, right? The point of Psalm 1 is it's either this way or this way. There is no number 3. It's either the way of the wicked, the counsel of the wicked, or the counsel of the Lord. It's so clear. It's black and white. So if we really want to experience true happiness, the Word of God has to be our delight. It has to be our pleasure, our joy. We must want to be in the Word of God. It's not this kind of mentality of like one verse a day keeps the devil away. But is this mentality of saying, I cannot but be in the Word of God. I cannot help myself but be reading what the Word of God says. This is my food. This is what I want to enjoy all the time. And so it says that you meditate on it day and night. So it means that if you are driving and then there's a red light and you stop there, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Is the counsel of the Lord, is the instruction of the Lord. If you're about to go to bed, you're already laying down, what do you think about? You think about the counsel of the Lord. You meditate on the things that you have read from the Word of God. When you wake up in the morning, what do you think about first? Well, since you delight in the counsel of the Lord, since you delight in His instruction, the first thing that you think of when you wake up is His Word. This is what the psalm is telling us. The psalm is saying there are two ways. You either listen to the counsel of the wicked or listen to the counsel of the Lord. Now, what is the difference, right? He comes and points us to the difference, and he shows this by an illustration. He says in verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. It seems like every summer that I come here to Yakima, there is a fire, or multiple fires. You look at the hills, they're all burnt. What is the problem with those bushes? They just don't have enough water, right? It gets really dry, so they don't get enough water, they dry, and they eventually end up being burnt. But what happens with a tree that is planted by the water? What happens with the crop that is being irrigated? What happens to the yard of the people that actually water their lawn? It's always green. It's kind of weird because in Aberdeen, no one really waters their lawn. Like, it's just, it rains so much that, you know, they just let it be. And then in the summer, it gets a little dry, so it dies a little bit, but then no one cares about it because we know that it's just going to start raining again, so no big deal. But here, I see that people actually have to water their lawns, and I see that people actually have to have, like, irrigation systems. And one of the cool things about here is that this valley is right by the Yakima River, right? That's the main reason why this place can continue to function. Can you imagine the Yakima Valley without any of the rivers around it? Just wouldn't work out. It just wouldn't work out. So here, the psalmist is giving us an example of saying the man, the person, the individual who abides in the Word of God, the man who abstains from the counsel of the wicked is like a tree that is planted by the water. All year long, its leaves are green. All year long, it's producing fruit, or it's producing fruit when it's supposed to produce. Its leaf does not wither. In everything that he does, he prospers. We want a prosperous 2020, don't we? Well, the Word of God is saying that if we really want to prosper, we need to abide in the Word of God. And notice that this is not a cheap kind of prosperity where, you know, we're going to become rich and our business is going to do amazing and you know, finally I'm going to be able to overcome my illnesses and diseases. No, this is not what it's saying. It's saying that that despite the circumstances around us, we are firmly planted. We are producing spiritual fruit. It is saying that even if there is a drought out there, because we are planted by the water, which is the Word of God, we are going to continue to produce fruit. Even if we are experiencing suffering, even if we are experiencing trials, even if we are experiencing poverty or necessity, even if we are experiencing death, even if we are experiencing pain, we are going to continue to produce fruit because we are planted by the water, which is the Word of God. Now, in case that we were not convinced yet, the way of the wicked, verse 4. What is the difference between these two ways, you might ask? Well, you know, how bad can the way of the wicked be? Well, look at what it says, verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. There is no point of comparison, right? The psalmist could have said, well, the wicked are like a tree that is not planted by the water, that sometimes it just withers and then comes back to life. But there is no comparison. He says, no, the wicked is like chaff. It doesn't even get to a tree level. It's just mere chaff that blows away. So probably my closest experience with chaff-like matter is when I'm roasting coffee. I like to roast coffee. And so coffee has this little peel that when you are roasting and it starts blowing because it's so light that, you know, it burns and it just blows. So I need to roast coffee outside, number one, because it gets smoky, but number two, because this thing is like blowing everywhere. And so here the word of God is saying that the wicked are like chaff. When the wind comes, they're blown away. So this is the analogy that it gives us. And now, if we are not convinced yet, look at what verses 5 and 6 say about the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. Therefore, verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, the wicked does not have a chance in the judgment. When the time of the judgment comes, they are not going to be able to make it out standing. The wicked, the sinners, are not going to be able to be in the congregation of the righteous. But the way of the, verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Look at the comparison once again. The way of the righteous, God knows this way. How awesome it is to know that God is looking at your way. That God knows your way. Think about it from a child's perspective. If you have small children, you know that your kids are nervous when you are not around. You know that your kid, well, generally speaking, sometimes they can be a little mischievous, but when they are in an unknown place, they are fine as long as they have, as they can see you, right? As they know that you are there. But what happens when maybe a stranger or someone that they're not very familiar with comes and talks to them? What is the first thing they do? They look for you so that they can bury their face in your legs. But it is really good for them to know that you are there, that you are present, that you are watching them, that you know what they are doing. So how awesome it is for us to know that God knows our way. That nothing that happens to us is outside of God's sight and control. That no difficult circumstance, no trial, no suffering is outside of God's knowledge and control. That God knows exactly where we're going, exactly what we're doing. That is an awesome thing to know that our Father knows our way, but the way of the wicked will perish. So once again, the psalmist is not even bothering to consider the validity of the way of the wicked. He's just straight up saying, the way of the Lord is awesome. It's amazing. It's like you are like a tree planted by the waters. The Lord is watching your way. But the way of the wicked, it leads to death. It's the worst thing you can possibly do. Now, if we are all honest, as simple as this psalm is, it is extremely hard to keep it. If we are all honest, I mean, even as I was talking about finding your delight in the instruction of the Lord and meditating on it day and night, like I was trying to refrain myself from saying like this is incredibly hard because I wanted to save it for this moment. But it is hard, isn't it? It is so difficult to mute the counsel of the wicked. It is so difficult sometimes to find your delight in the Word of God. Sometimes you're doing awesome. Sometimes you're doing great and you're, you know, just on a roll. But sometimes you just don't feel like it. Sometimes the counsel of the wicked, the way of sinners, the seat of scoffers just looks way more attractive to you. Or maybe you've been into it so long that it's just normal. It's just normal for you. And so this psalm really is difficult. And think about it. If it were not a struggle for us to battle between these two ways, between these two counsels, then why would this psalm even be here, right? If it were not a struggle, why would the psalmist take so many pains to show how bad the way of the wicked is and the way of the righteous, how good it is? So if we are honest, we have walked in the counsel of the wicked. If we are honest, we have stood in the way of sinners. If we are honest, we have sat in the seat of scoffers. If we are honest, we have not delighted in the law of the Lord. If we are honest, we have not meditated in it day and night. However, there is a man who has perfectly delighted in the law of God. There is a man who perfectly obeyed the word of God. There is a man who delighted in the word of God. There is a man who meditated on it day and night. There is a man who, even though he ate with sinners and he hung out with sinners, he never walked in their counsel. There is a man who never stood in the way of sinners doing the same kind of things that they do. There is a man who never sat in the seat of scoffers. And I'm talking about the man Jesus Christ. In fact, he was scoffed at. Even though he was perfect, even though he perfectly obeyed the word of his Father, even though he delighted in the word of God, he was scoffed at. He suffered for us. This is the way that the prophet Isaiah puts it. And I'm just going to read a few verses from Isaiah 53. It says, he was despised and rejected by men. This is talking about Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was cut off, kind of like a tree is cut off. He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. He was poured to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Do you see that? Do you see how Jesus is really this man who is like a tree planted by waters? How he is perfect, how he obeyed and delighted in the word of God perfectly. And yet, he was put to death because of sinners, because of transgressors, because of the wicked, because of us. Jesus was put to death because of us. But check this out. This is amazing. I really love this part, how it says that by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. By the suffering of Jesus, by his knowledge, by his death, he has made many to be accounted righteous. So even though by ourselves, in our own effort, we could never live up to the standards of Psalm 1, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, because of his death, because of his suffering, now we who believe in him are counted as righteous. God looks at us and sees us as righteous. There's another psalm, Psalm 32, that opens in a similar way to Psalm 1. It says, how blessed is the man, or how blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. How blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. So I guess we could add and say, do you want to be blessed and happy in 2020? Well, the first thing that you have to do, if you haven't done it, is trust in the Lord Jesus. Is trust in his salvation and the work that he accomplished on the cross for us, so that your sins can be forgiven and then you can be truly happy. But now, salvation and righteousness is not the only thing that Jesus accomplished on the cross, because he did not remain dead, but he rose again. And in his new life, he gave us who believe in him a new life as well, so that we no longer would be walking in the way or the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scoffers. He gave us a new life. He gave us his Holy Spirit, so that now we can actually live up to the standards of Psalm 1. He gave us a new life. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who is empowering us so that we can abstain from those things, so that we can actually delight in the instruction of the Lord. Before God saved us, before Christ saved us, the law of God, the counsel of the Lord, it was just burdensome to us. We didn't like it. But after he saved us, now we can delight in it. Now we can rejoice in it. We can meditate in it day and night. And because of the death of Jesus Christ, and because of his resurrection, and because of the Spirit that he has given us, we can be counted with the righteous. It can be said of us that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows our way. It is because of him. So notice, Jesus is not just saying, okay, you're righteous, you don't have anything else to worry about. I mean, in a sense, yes, we don't have anything to worry about because we are righteous. But he is saying, but because you are righteous now, because I've given you my righteousness, now I want you to live up to the standards of Psalm 1. Because I've made you righteous. If you want to be truly happy, I want you to abstain from these things, and I want you to delight in the Word of God. So, do you want to be happy in 2020? Do you want to be truly happy? Do you want to be blessed in 2020 and for the rest of your life? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? How are you going to manage to stop listening to the counsel of the wicked and start delighting in the counsel of the Lord? How are you going to do it? I mean, we already saw that it is by the work of Christ, and it is by his Holy Spirit and the new life that he has given us. But what practical steps are we going to take in order to stop that influence from the world and actually delight in the Word of God? One thing that my parents used to say all the time is, if you want to hear from God, you need to turn down the volume of the world. So what are we going to do in order to turn down the volume of the world so that we can actually hear from God? Could it be that maybe you are spending way too much time listening to the counsel of the wicked? Could it be that you have not only been listening to it, but you're actually already standing in the way, and you're starting to consider the things that they're saying, and they've become so normal in your life that you are just starting to believe them? Could it be that you are actually sitting in their seat, in the seat of the scoffer? So what are you going to do? I mean, I can give you like exactly like, all right, here is your prescription. You're going to stop doing Facebook and Instagram and those things, and you're going to read the Word of God once a day for 10 minutes. No, I cannot tell you that. I think you have to come up with your own plan. You have to come up with your own plan to stop listening to the wicked, to stop walking in the way of the wicked, and actually start walking in the way of the Lord, and continue to delight in the law of the Lord and to meditate on it day and night. Always remembering that Jesus is that perfect, blessed man who always delighted in the word of his Father, who never walked in the counsel of the wicked, and who gave his life so that now we can live up to the standards of this psalm. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is our Savior, that he gave his life for us. We praise you because he delighted in your law perfectly. He meditated on it day and night. And we thank you that even though he did not deserve it, he died on the cross to save us. And God, we ask that you give us the grace to continue to abstain from the counsel of the wicked, that you give us the grace to continue to delight in your word, that we would take practical steps, God, to abide in your word in this year and for the rest of our lives. We praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.